Only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. The tough question, must we always be humble, from our gospel lesson from today? Well, the short answer to this tough question is yes. Yes, you must always be humble. Down through the years, I have been extremely proud of the sermons I've given on humility. People have told me that they should be gathered into a book and published. Now you see the problem with humility. Aim to be humble, you will fail. One of my all-time favorite stories comes from way back. It's about a Thomas Wheeler, who was the chief executive officer of the Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company. He actually tells it about himself. He says that while he and his wife were out for a drive, he noticed that he was low on gas, so they pulled off at the next intersection that they could. And they came to this sort of seedy gas station with one pump. You've been there ever? And there was one attendant there. So he pulled up to that pump, and the attendant came out, and he said, "Fill it up." This is how old this story is. "Fill it up, and I'm going to check the oil." Right? So he checks the oil, and he realizes he's a quart low. I don't think we do that anymore, do we? And then he's pouring the oil in the car, and the attendants, and his wife gets out of the car, and he looks up, and he sees his wife and the attendant smiling and talking at each other. And then when they catch him looking at them, the attendant walks away as if nothing happened. So they get back in the car, he pays the attendant. He pulls out from that one pump gas station. And then he looks at his wife and he says, "Did you know that attendant?" And the wife, with a half sort of blush, says, "Well, yes, I admit I did know him." And she pauses and she said, "Well, actually, I knew him really, really well. We went to high school together, and we seriously dated for a year." Well, Wheeler couldn't help but sort of puff out a little bit and said, "Well, it's a good thing that I came along, because if you married him, you'd been the wife of a gas station attendant instead of the wife of the chief operating executive officer of this company." Now she turned to him and looked at him while he was driving and said, "My dear, if I had married him, he would have been the chief executive officer and you would have been the gas station attendant." There's many a woman saying, "That's right." What is it about human nature? Our need to be right, to be noticed, to be appreciated, to be esteemed, to be acknowledged, to have our own way. It seems like it knows no bounds. We want people to see that we're a person of substance. Humility is never gained by seeking it, as odd as that sounds. I think that's really true. It's as elusive as it is desirable. And yet, Jesus is still advocating in our scriptures today that, and elsewhere, that we embrace a lifestyle of humility. And Jesus himself is the best example of the beauty of humility. He did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became really nothing, becoming like us. Really, every day of Jesus' life was a day of humility. It'd be wrong, though, to equate humility with a lack of strength, because Jesus was strong and yet humble. We live in a society not really unlike Jesus' day. A status-seeking society, a self-seeking culture. We are tempted to give in to the narcissism of our age, to think only about ourselves and not to think about God or others. That's why churches are not as full as they used to be, perhaps, because our needs for whatever, come before God's commandment. We remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We think about us first, Him second or third. In an obituary I read in the New Sentinel 2 weeks ago, a man had quoted this scripture verse, 1 John 2, 16 and 17. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The world. You know, the church was supposed to be countercultural. It was supposed to be different, right? But even the world has invaded our church with its status seeking. For example, did you know the word pew comes from the French word, and I'm going to obliterate French pronunciation here, pewee. For you who know French, you know I didn't do that right. But the word means raised place or platform. In the early years of the United States in churches, and if you've gone to colonial places like Williamsburg or something like this, you see these roped off pews. It was to keep the rabble out. And so these seats of the snobs were known as pews. Pews being a raised area. Even today, we love to compare, to rate, to compete. Though the church was meant to be different, meant to be a place where we don't do that to each other. Yet it happens even here. Our scripture for today, especially the second half of it, Jesus' words, can seem so puzzling. Is he acting like Emily Post, giving us party manners, how to act in certain situations, courtesy rules? Is that what he's doing? When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't take the seat of honor. You may end up being humiliated. But if you have the eyes to see it, you will see contained in this divine advice the gospel message of salvation. We're all sinners, agreed, in this world? Those inside the church and outside the church, we're all sinners. And it is God's judgment, and only His judgment, that will count in the end. But because He gives us faith, and if you have faith in God, it's because it was granted to you. Because He gives us faith in Jesus, because our connection with Jesus, we're called up. We know what we deserve, but we're called up. When you throw a party, invite people who can't pay you back. That was in our gospel, wasn't it? But this is exactly what our Heavenly Father does. The ones who think they deserve to be on the invitation list, who boast about their goodness and their rightness and their exemplary service, they're left off the invitation list. It is the beggars who know they're undeserving of God's grace, you and me, who trust entirely on God's grace and find themselves invited to the party of parties. There's only one who can exalt us, only one who can save us. The great truth is that we are saved by grace or not saved at all. All boasting and all bragging, all brushed up resumes get discounted. It's grace. So, what can we do? If we seek humility, we will be thinking of ourselves again. We'll be back to vanity and pride, right? That invariably leads us to say, is it hopeless? Can we not advance in humility? No, it's not hopeless, and there is something we can do. Service to God and to others, especially hidden service, transforms us and knocks the legs out of pride and vanity. Simply put, it is to love God and love people, people of all kinds, and put their needs and interests above our own. As Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet, as he did every day of his ministry. One of the joys of being a pastor is I see the effect on people who have been served and benefited anonymously. In other words, they don't know who did this for them, who helped them in some way or another. And you know what that does in a church? It sends a current of electricity, a vibe of as if God themselves has been helping them. But to be honest, most acts of service are not anonymous, not hidden, but nevertheless demonstrate a humble spirit that glorifies Jesus. There is what I would call the service of small things. It's those little things that some people might consider trifling, but they're not trifling. They're just acts of humility wrought because of service. And I think of Nancy Detmering. Many of you might know her, and many of you probably don't. She's recovering from a stroke at Patricia Neal right now. You know how I really came to appreciate her? Nancy has been taking care of our coffee machine. She fills to make sure there's creamer in there and all the things. And I drink coffee. I don't know about you. But I went there one time. It's been taken care of now. But I went there and I put creamer in my coffee. What I drink is not coffee. It's some kind of concoction. Anyway, I went and it was none there. And then I thought, it's Nancy. She's not here. And I appreciated her. And she does other things. On Wednesday night, she cleans the tables, picks up the salt and pepper shakers, you know, and it's a small service. It's meaningful. It's humble service. Then I think of Mary Carson, and I'm picking people that are not here today. Mary Carson moved away, and Mary Carson would come on Wednesdays early before the activities on Wednesday, and she'd go through the pews, and she replenished cards and sharpened pencils, and she did this week after week after week after week after week. We missed her because with that, it's taken care of again now because someone stepped forward, but there was a Wednesday or a Sunday service when there weren't the cards there, you know, and you think, well, these are little things. These little things mount up. This humble service. There are people who we might ask to clean the toilets. Would you be offended? You know, my vicarage, which is an internship year, you know, it's 4 years of seminary, but one of those years you go out to a church and you serve for a year, and that's when you really learn a lot, right? And mine was in Salem, Oregon. I had a great pastor, a really good pastor. And he taught me so many things. But one of the things that he took on himself, this church had a lot of developmentally disabled, intellectually challenged people come to the church. They put out the welcome mat for these people, and they were delightful. But this pastor, every Sunday, he did what he called the bathroom service, the toilet service. And he'd go with plunger, and I'll have to say it was because of these people. They would use too much paper or whatever. And he let the vicar join him doing that, you know. He could have recruited someone to do this, but no, he wouldn't do that. This was, in a way, a lesson to me. I tell you, I had many lessons from him, but this is one that I remember. And you know what? I have to be honest. The first time I did it and first time I came to one of these unbelievably clogged, we would have the plumber on speed dial, you know, toilets. I was just like, why do I have to do this? And then I saw him with a smile on his face. He was kind of a smiley guy, and you know, and say, hey, we had a big one today, didn't we? You know? Oh, yeah. I'm pretty good with a plunger now. Thanks to my vicarage. Let me add another a service that we can do that results in humility. It's called the service of listening. This is an important aspect of loving people. And yes, growing in humility. The person who constantly interrupts, corrects, overtalks is giving an example of not of humility, but pride and vanity again. First aspect of loving a person is listening to them. Really listening, not this half listening. That person is exhibiting an attitude of superiority right off the bat. And connected to that is guarding another person's reputation. This is where pride and hypocrisy can easily show up in us when we start to compare ourselves to others or do this false rating of people. With other people, ultimately that's all self-serving, isn't it? Humility finally rests on a kind of blindness. Now, for you children in here, don't do what I'm saying. But have you ever looked at the sun straight on? You know, it's not a wise thing to do, but if you look right at the sun for a couple of seconds, you have this temporary blindness, you know? Well, I suggest we can be blinded by God's grace. It's a blindness that says, I'm so undeserving, but all these blessings have been given to me, especially the blessing of faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm blinded to all the things, all my grievances, all the things that are not right, how people are not acknowledging me. My clever deceptions, my lust, my pride, my worldliness that hangs on to me. I deserve punishment, condemnation. Instead, he gives me forgiveness, grace, love, the embrace of the Holy Spirit. It's a God-blinded soul where increasingly I stop thinking about me, the slights, the dishonoring perhaps, people taking advantage of us. But I think about what God gives me and what he wants me to be like, to pattern my life after Jesus. Humble, but strong. Must we always be humble? Yes, but we won't. We won't be. But we who are saved by grace of Jesus Christ can follow the path of service, of love toward God and others. We can take on an attitude of humility, ready and willing to serve others. And most importantly, we can mature and grow in this attitude by serving as Jesus served. And so what is said in the Old Testament can be true of us. we can indeed walk humbly with our God. In the name of Jesus and to his glory, amen. 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 Please rise.